الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم And just before we begin, inshallah, just a reminder, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to mention this last week, but we did put it in the email this week. Inshallah, these sessions will move online starting next Sunday. It's online anyway, and we did put a notice that it was going to be online this week, online only this week, but because I forgot to make the announcement, we went ahead and just created a live session as well, but I think many people got the message. Anyway, irrespective, this will be the last week of this gathering in person, and inshallah we'll resume whenever we're able to resume. I don't know when that'll be, but inshallah, you know, as soon as the situation improves, inshallah we'll resume in person, but we will maintain the gathering online. So what we'll do is we will keep the timing. And at the time, we will call the adhan for Maghrib. And those of you who are at home would like to establish the Jama'ah prayer with your families, you can go ahead and do so. And we'll pause for 15 minutes. Is that the time? 15 minutes? 20. We'll pause for 20 minutes after the adhan, which will essentially give people the opportunity to be able to pray their farad, pray their sunnah, and situate themselves. And then, inshallah, we'll begin the live stream at the time that is posted on the screen. So if you go on the website, prior to the session beginning, there's a slide that shows up on the screen, which basically says the live stream will begin at whatever the time might be. So, for example, today, the live stream was set for 4:53, and that's why I sat here until 4:53 before beginning to speak, so that everyone could be synchronized at that same time. So again, starting next week, online only. There will be no in-person gathering. Inshallah, I'll make this announcement at the end as well, just in case people join later. One of the things to appreciate is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a tremendous amount of variability in the universe. And this variability is from the sha'an, or the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at anything around you, it is always in a state of change. The sky is changing, the weather is changing, people are changing, things are growing, things are being built, things are being destroyed. Everything's in a state of change. Everything around us. And you'll see that people make a tremendous amount of effort to be able to describe that change and understand that change. In fact, if you think about mathematics, we spend a lot of time when we're growing up studying mathematics, and we eventually go from mathematics to algebra, algebra to eventually geometry, geometry, you eventually get to advanced topics in algebra, and then you eventually end up at a subject called calculus. And all of the higher levels of mathematics that we study, algebra, calculus, all of this is essentially getting to this idea of how things are changing. So calculus is what? Calculus is essentially understanding derivatives of, well, equations that describe circumstances, and then understanding how to take derivatives of those equations, and derivatives gives you an instantaneous rate of change. So they'll say, if you take an object and you throw it, it goes so high until it eventually comes back down. So how high will it actually go? And there's an equation that they give you. Well, essentially what they're really asking you is, what are the rates of change? So it's going up, 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 up. Eventually it comes to a maximum. Eventually it begins to go the other way. And the way that you can determine what that maximum is you can use calculus to determine derivatives and eventually figure out what the maximum point will be on that equation. All of life is embedded in this very extensive change and an understanding of what is driving that change. Now, one, there's so many interesting dimensions to this change. One is just the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the universe in such a dynamic way. Because remember that it would have been difficult to create a static universe. You know, what I mean by static is, if you would just take a time point and freeze time, let's say we just froze time a second ago, and everything in the universe stayed exactly where it was as it is, in that dimension of time, it would have been amazing and magnificent to look at. Just think about it. I mean, people take a picture or a painting. A picture and a painting is a snapshot of time. Somebody takes a picture of the sky and the solar system and you see all the stars. They're taking a snapshot of 1 millisecond of time. And sometimes people will look at those pictures and they'll be completely amazed. Somebody draws a beautiful scenery. Or somebody writes a beautiful poem about something that happened, or somebody writes a story about some events that occurred. In the end, they capture either a millisecond of time, or maybe a little bit longer period of time, maybe a little bit longer period of time, but they're still restricted. And they amaze us. I can show you a beautiful landscape, I can show you a picture, and you'll just look at it and say, wow. But in that picture, you're not able to capture all of the dynamic features of that 1 millisecond. And in addition, you're not able to capture everything that's changing beyond that 1 millisecond. For example, if we took a picture of the forest. Now, you can see the forest, you can kind of see trees, you can kind of see green, you might see water, you might see ground. If you zoom in, you might be able to see the tree. If you zoom in more, you might be able to see the leaf of the tree, or maybe a branch of the tree. If you zoom in even more, you might be able to see the leaf of the tree, but you're not going to be able to zoom in and see the insects that are sitting on the leaf of the tree. You're not going to be able to zoom in and see each of the cells that makes up the leaf of the tree. You're not going to be able to zoom in and see all of the different parts of the individual cell that makes up that leaf of that tree. You're not going to be able to zoom in and be able to detail every chemical reaction that's occurring in that one cell. We don't have the ability to do that, but all of that's actually occurring. And this is due to the magnificence of Allah. Everything is from the treasure of Allah. It comes from nothing and is completely created by Allah. Now, that's 1 millisecond. Then you have to think that not only did Allah create the universe in this broad, expansive, detailed, amazing way, but then every single change that occurs at every single millisecond that's continuously occurring is all also created by Allah and is completely in His knowledge and completely in His control. The more a person just reflects on this, the more a person just begins to understand how magnificent and amazing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is. You can study calculus. You know, we go through calculus in high school, and it's like somebody just, you know, tortured us for 9 months straight by putting us through calculus. But you can think about calculus from another perspective, which is that calculus is the human attempt to understand a tiny fraction, not even 1/1 billionth, 1/1 trillionth maybe, not even, of all of the things that are constantly changing in the universe around us. That's calculus. Calculus doesn't even have the ability to capture that change. It captures change in a very unidimensional, simple way, and just helps human beings be able to capture some of the dynamic nature that in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe around us. Okay, so that's one point. Now, what's still interesting is that in calculus and in math and in algebra, one of the things that they teach us is about something called the end behavior of a function. End behavior of a function. So what is the end behavior of a function? It's where there's a function that describes a process. Functions are just, you know, mathematical equations that describe a process. And the question is, Where does this function end? What's the end of behavior? All right, so for example, imagine you're looking at a graph. I'm going to draw it for myself, but imagine you're looking at a graph, okay? And you know that sometimes they'll draw a line, and the line has one arrow at one end and one arrow at the other end, and the purpose of the arrow at one end and the purpose of the arrow at the other end is to show that this line goes all the way to infinity as it approaches negative infinity, and this line goes all the way to positive infinity as it approaches, as x approaches positive infinity. So they're describing this end behavior. They call it the end behavior of a graph. And one of the very basic principles that we learn in math is how to describe the end behavior of different functions. So for example, sometimes a function is just a linear, it's a line. Sometimes a function is a parabola, it's a quadratic equation. Sometimes a function looks like this, you know. Sometimes a function goes up and down like this, you know, sine or cosine or whatever it might be. All these functions, they vary. And they have what they call end behaviors. Where does this function go as you keep going out on the graph towards infinity, either to the right or to the left? So despite all of this complex, all of these complicated equations, they all have different end behaviors. Sometimes it's infinity, sometimes it's a number, sometimes it bumps into a line, which they call an asymptote. Anyway, the point is that you have to spend all this time trying to study end behaviors. Now, you look at the entire universe. Look at the entire universe for a second. Every single molecule, no, every single atom, let's just go very simple. Every single atom in the universe is constantly in a state of change. And supercomputers are needed to be able to create the equations that describe the state of change that all these atoms are undergoing. But interestingly, every single atom in the universe has the exact same end behavior. Every single atom in the universe has the exact same end behavior. So what is that end behavior? It's that it will not exist. Everything in the end will be disintegrated and will be destroyed. There will be nothing left in creation except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, you know, despite all of these complicated equations that everyone's drawing and everyone's trying to understand and all these mathematicians try to, you know, use to explain everything that goes on around us, Muslims have the answer to the final result. You know, it's like all these crazy equations, but then you just have the one answer at the very end. The one answer at the very end is that the end behavior of every equation, irrespective of where it begins and where it ends, where it begins and how it moves along the graph, is that every single equation's end behavior is nothing, nothingness, zero. And if a person understands this, it gives them an appreciation of the universe that even the mathematical equations cannot come up with. Because in the end, they all go to infinity, as if there's something beyond. But we know that there will come a point in time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disintegrate the entire universe, and that not even an atom of this universe will remain. Everything will just become nothing. Now, that becomes important to a Muslim because it helps a Muslim make sense of all of the crazy change that is constantly undergoing, constantly going on around them. All right, let me simplify that. Let me simplify it this way. Every person in this room has a different equation or a different graph of what's going to happen with their lives. No two people in this room are going to be the same. Every single person is going to be different. Right? Some of you will be wealthy. Some of you will not. Some of you will achieve a very high position. Some of you will not. Some of you will be excellent in this, and some of you will not. Some of you will excel in whatever. But what's the end behavior of everybody in this room? What will be the end result in the end? I can tell you that a guarantee. I don't know what trajectory everyone will take in this room. Everybody will have ups and downs in life. No one, everyone's will be different. Each one is unique. But guaranteed, the end behavior is the same. Every single person in this room will end up at death. There's no confusion about that. There's no, I don't have to sit down with a supercomputer and program, you know, my life into it to try to determine where I'm going to end up. I am going to end up in the grave with nothing from this world. Now, that's a really big piece of information to have. Why? Because it defines the entire equation. So what we're saying is this, very simplistically, somebody's life could be like this. They're going to end up here. Okay? They're going to end up at this point, which is called death. Somebody's life could be like this. They could rise. Eventually, they're going to crash into a line, and they're going to end up at death. Somebody could be down here. They're going to come up. They could be low. Eventually, they're going to this point. They're going to be brought to death. So in the end, the summary for everybody in this room and everyone that was ever created, and in fact, everything that was ever created, is nothingness, is death. And that is a very, again, that is a very key piece of information because it drives us to understand what our focus in life should be, where we should put our effort. Because if we're all going to end up at the same place, then we know that we need to work for that because what matters in the equation is not where, and it's not that point, it's what occurs beyond that point, which is the day of judgment. So none of us should be confused that the sole success is success after the point of death, and the sole achievement are the achievements that occur after the point of death, and the sole reward is the reward that occurs after the point of death. Because look, let's say I earn all the rewards in this life that are possible. What's going to happen once I crash into death? Once I crash into my time of death, I'm going to end up at the same point that the person who suffered all of the pains of life suffered. In the end, we all end up at the same place. There are billionaires on this planet. They cannot avoid death. There are people who barely have a penny in their pocket. They cannot avoid death. There are people in America, they will not avoid death. There are people in Ethiopia, they will not avoid death. Every single person, despite all of the differences that exist between them, the one unifying common principle that applies to every equation in the universe is that the end point is going to be death. So we should be very clear, and we have this advantage of knowing this point, being told this point, and having the sense to be able to prepare for this. Now, you look at, we get caught up, we get caught up in the changes that occur. You know, in our life, in the world around us, we can get this, we can buy that, we can eat this, we can go here, we can do that. But if we lose sight of the end result, then we are the ones that will be at a loss. And this is really what one of the key principles of Deen. To appreciate that Allah has created everything, that all of this complex environment that exists around us is a sign of His magnificence, but that all of it in the end will be driven to one exact same end, which is that it will all approach annihilation and death. And for us, that gives us a very clear picture on how to live our lives because it means that we have to work for everything that comes after death because that's all that's going to matter. I could literally, honestly, I could literally earn $1 billion. It's not going to change what's going to happen to me at the end. I won't be able to delay my death. I won't be able to take any of that with me. I'm not going to be able to take any of the things that I purchase or possess. They're not going to be any use of me once I'm dead and once I enter into the hereafter. The only thing that will benefit me is to take the resources that happen to come my way, to use them in order to benefit myself after death, and then and only then will I be able to take a piece of what I had in this world. We need to be very clear about this. These are very, very simple, broad principles of our deen. And they should inform us in order to make the appropriate decisions when we're using the resources that Allah has bestowed upon us. Allah has given us time. That time is a complete loss unless it's leveraged to be able to earn a reward in the hereafter. And look how many minutes we waste. You know, they say this is a waste of time, that's a waste of time. Just think about what we mean when we say waste of time. Allah gave a millisecond, or Allah gave us a minute. In that minute, we could do takbirat, we could do tasbih, we could read Quran, or we use it for something else. If we use it for something good, it becomes a true valuable moment, which will be preserved and captured until the day of judgment. And if we waste it, then we lost an opportunity. If we waste it, we lost an opportunity. Same with our wealth. Same with our energy. Same with our focus. We have been given a very clear warning. We have been given a very clear guidance as to the final result of all of the equations that that are present in this world, of all of the complex interactions that occur in this world. So none of us should be at all confused by the little changes that occur every day. Now, you see that when you turn on the news, it's incremental. You turn on the news or you read the newspaper or you go on a website, they show you tiny, tiny changes that occur. The stock market went up this many points today. The stock market went down this many points today. This thing occurred in this particular place in the world. This thing did not occur in this particular place in the world. This person, you know, did some amazing feat with a basketball or a football or a baseball. A new person came, they did some amazing feat with a basketball, football. Sometimes they're in college, sometimes they're in high school, sometimes they're professionals. They're constantly telling us about all these little incremental changes, but it doesn't, for us, that equation doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with us. The only thing that matters for us is that we look at our circumstance, we figure out what's relevant, which is our time, energy, ability, and we leverage that to be able to earn something that's going to be permanent, because everything else in this world will be completely gone. That's the understanding of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe. They recognize that He created this as a temporary abode. They know that this is an opportunity for them to gain reward and to earn His love, forgiveness, and mercy. And they leverage that opportunity to be able to earn something in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to the reality of the universe that exists around us. And may he make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the end result of what we all will become. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.